What up, Preacher fans? We are talking about Preacher Season 3, Episode 3, and it's gonna hurt. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, Preacher fans.
Gotta get my hums in, even though Dave's not here. We're humming in honor.
Humming in honor of our non-present co-host, Dave, here. But welcome, everybody, to the Preacher After Show. We're talking about Preacher.
Yes, we are.
Season 3, Episode 3, Gon' Hurt. I am your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me today...
What's up, guys? Nate Miller here.
Dave Child is not here, but he'll be here next week. And we have a new host that's going to be joining us as well.
It's a mystery. You'll have to tune in next week to find out.
Secrets. But yeah, it's me and Nate holding down the preacher fort today.
That's right. We're here. The most important voices.
Because we're here to say that.
That's it. Yep. Basically. That's how it works.
Exactly. The most important ones are the ones who are here to say.
That's true.
Yeah. That's how facts work.
Perfect.
So this was a pretty good episode. I really, really liked this episode.
Yeah, I liked it. It had a little bit of a lull in the middle for me, but I think that's kind of just because what happened with Tulip this episode was the God thing was really cool, and I was like, whoa! And then everything else after that was cool. It just wasn't as cool. So
yeah. It is. But I liked when it a lot. You open it up with like God Dog finally taking off his mask.
Yeah, it was just like so much.
It was so cool. I loved that scene. Yep. I loved. And what do you think? I feel like God is, even though he's saying he has this grand plan. I'm a Tulip. I think he's just dicking around. He's just having fun.
I agree. I think he's having a midlife crisis. It was really cool.
Crisis.
Yeah. Whatever the number is. Yeah. The ponytail thing was hilarious.
Oh my God. The ponytail and the motorcycle was just like the chick on the back.
Like with her? I know what this
she's
is.
She's like the slow drag. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. I love, and of course, it's really cool to see the Tulip that we've gotten in this show, and just her confronting God like that was like, okay, it made sense with what we've seen her move.
And she's such a badass. Yeah. Like, I love that Tulip meets God and it was basically pulling no punches. Like, she's like, you know, what are you doing down here anyway? I'm going to get out of the car. I'm going to question you. We're not just done because you say I'm a loving God and you walk out. She's like, I need answers.
Yeah.
And I love that he's just like, you know what? Don't push it. And just hauls her away, and her immediate reaction is like, yeah, you better run, God, I'm coming for you.
It was interesting that he referenced, you know, her father too in the curse, and like I like that he spelled I had an idea, we talked about this, that I think that he wanted her to mess that all of it up because he wants to derail Jesse, but hearing it in confirmation again was nice. And again, just to go back to echo things we've said the last three after shows, the pace of the season so far has been great. Like, how long have we been waiting to see God? Like, all of last season was chasing it down, only to the end to find out that we found it way earlier. We just didn't know it. Like, all this stuff, and then finally he just takes off his mask and like just starts talking and like has like a whole dialogue and stuff,
and he
then
looks just like fake God,
flexes too, and like throws some God powers around. It was like, all right, this is the Preacher show.
I love it. I will say though, I'm with you, whereas the pacing of this one, because the pace has been so quick the past couple episodes, I assumed since we get that scene before the Preacher intro, even that the rest of it was just going to be just high octane. And it kind of took me out of it a little bit, because it was a little bit slower paced. But man, I'm like, their cinematographer, every single frame of this episode could have been a poster.
Yep.
It was the most beautiful cinematography that I have seen, I think, on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to watch it again on a better screen. I was having some lighting issues, but the framing is always great. And just the set that they've built, that is that house, just makes for some very interesting shots. You can get some like off angled close ups that just have such interesting texture in the background.
And even the way that they're able to film the action, like before we even see Tulip in the car, when it opens up and it's just like the inverted gator, and then just, you know, these quick action cuts, and then just Tulip cocking the gun, like, all right, I'm here, I'm ready.
Yeah, they really capture the sense of like vintage action movies with a lot of these shots, especially the car stuff, whenever there's car chases or like shootouts and stuff. The angles they choose are really interesting.
It feels very 70s, which I like.
Also the wardrobe. Looks badass.
Oh my god, that leather jacket when she just like, which I'm wondering where the grail is. She shows up, there's nothing but a box of business cards with the address.
I was gonna be really mad if they were actually there. I was gonna be really mad.
I do think it is such quintessential Tulip too, just to KO the janitor. He's like, I just sweep the floors, lady. Like, I don't know what's happening. There's no reason to punch me in the face, but you can't even be mad at her because it's Tulip.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to know that find out the janitor guy is like a Grail agent.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I feel like anybody working there has to know something.
Yeah, but it was very Tulip.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved it. And Tulip, man, she just really took things in her own hands this episode, too. Really wanting to figure out when she's exploring the house all over her own, which was also really cool cinematography, showing each of the different elements in the room, and then her finally picking the lock. And
super creepy.
Oh, my God. And the hand dripping and then just slowly being brought up from the sheets. I was like,
I don't want to know what that is.
I know. That's what I was like, who is that? I was looking at the hand trying to figure out if it was Madame Longell. And I was like, it's not. No. It's some other something that isn't even explained.
That's being like bled out or like soul dripped out or something really gross. Because
it wasn't blood that was dripping out because it wasn't red. So it was like, what is that?
I didn't even see what it was that was dripping. I just heard something dripping. Yeah.
Man, so good. And then seeing Tulip trying to get the answers from TC. This is one of my favorite scenes just ever. Like, and just poor sweet TC. Just, you want to see my dangle? That's his opening line.
I'm really enjoying that they've expounded upon the characters of TC and Jody, and the performance is fantastic.
Yeah.
But again, it's nice. There's a tone of humor in the book that I think this show has sometimes hit very well, sometimes not. But I think this character does a great job, especially in this episode, of giving you laughs, especially because there's a lot of heavy stuff that goes on in this show too. So it's nice to have some highs so you're not just really sad when you watch it all the time. I really enjoyed the scene. Again, Tulip is really like my favorite character on the show. I think, I don't know, Cassie used to be my favorite, but I think Tulip has kind of surpassed that for me right now.
I'm with you. Cass was my favorite, but then when he became so enamored with Tulip, now I think that they're really trying to show why. So they just keep showing more elements as to why Tulip is awesome. And you're like, okay, I'm with you, Cass. Like, I love her too.
Yeah, but I agree with you.
I understand why they're doing it, because I feel like we're going to get some great cast moments later on, but right now it's just all really trying to push the love triangle.
It feels kind of forced. Like,
it is a little forced.
It's like, yeah, you guys had sex one time. Like, I'm with you where I don't feel the connection that Cass has to Tulip is that authentic for him to go through all of this trouble to
but
be
it makes sense
with her.
Because you'd said it on a previous episode too, is that Cass, you know, he's lived this long, and so he basically just finds whoever he can to latch on to.
Yeah, that's true.
And just try to have that relationship give him some sort of validity in his life until it ultimately
and it's also passes. It's also what he thinks of Jesse, and you know, him maybe wanting to see him thinking that he's going to treat her better than Jesse has seen,
and even seeing too when Tulip comes back and she's telling the guys like, God came to me, and Jesse's first reaction is, well, that doesn't make sense, why would he come to you? Like, why wouldn't he come to me, Jesse? Like, step off. What?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think he meant it that
way. He didn't
way,
mean it in a bad way. It's just
but
like, I'm the one chasing him.
It is still a very selfish way to think about it. Right.
It's like, basically, all of you guys are part of my Jesse adventure. So why would you have a Jesse adventure without Jesse?
Right.
And it's like, because it's not just about you, bro.
Well, also because she just died and came back to life.
Also,
she might be a little more
legitimate too. Right. Like, I'm like, why didn't she be like, because I died, Jess? Yes. Remember, it happened days ago.
Yep.
We're all here because of it.
Yeah. Thanks for moving on so quickly, Jesse.
But yeah, I love how she is really able to highlight how awesome of a character TC is too, how you were saying how they really fleshed it out, and seeing him kind of turn on a dime of her asking these questions, trying to manipulate him a little bit. Like, tell me about these blood compacts that I found. Tell me about these handkerchiefs. What's the situation? Can I get out of it? Is there a way around it? And then him figuring out where he's like, oh, I see what you're thinking. Slippery. And just watching that where you're like, oh, God, this is dangerous. Like, this could go very badly, very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering how far it was going to go because you could play the gag that TC is too stupid to understand, but you can only play it so far when he's explaining things. Like, of course he's going to put it together eventually. But I like the way it worked out. You know, Tulip can be very manipulative when she wants to be. She's a good actress.
Yeah.
And she knows how to manipulate a man, apparently. So.
Which I love that Ruth Negga is so talented that she can play Tulip and then play Tulip playing somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
And you can see the lines where you're change, like, oh, yeah. She's up to something. Like, this is Tulip playing a role. It's not Ruth as this character. Right. It's this character playing. So I absolutely loved it. And the story about Miss Marie and about the guy who was trying to get out of his blood compact and how he basically paid a bunch of money for an 89-cent napkin that then when he ripped in half, literally ripped his wife in half and killed her. That was a really cool visual, too.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of saw that coming when after we already saw with her twisting the napkin and it, like, choking him. I figured that there was, like, a connection. And she said that she was going to burn it. So I thought the story was going to be, like, he burns it and then she, like,
and
burns
she lights
a
on fire.
But they're like, no, nope, we're going to rip her in half because this is
that's an even
Preacher,
scarier
and
visual.
It's AMC and we had Walking Dead, so we can do this. Man, I liked it.
I loved it. It was just, I also loved just TC's when she's like, I love a good story. And he's like, you ain't going to love this one.
Yeah. Well, also, too, so again, it's a great way of giving us backstory on the characters that has a meaning other than just exposition. And like, I've seen some people, sometimes people in the chat the last few weeks have been like, well, TC and Jody, like Jody's so strong. Why do they listen to grandma? Like why? And this is why, like they're scared of her for a very good reason. Like she's very powerful. Like they've seen her do some ruthless things to people that she cares about and family. So like, why she's not going to hesitate with them, so of course they're going to listen
to her. And that's everybody keeps trying to warn these guys, and everyone's thinking, you know, she's just a frail old lady. Like even Tulip is saying, you know, what's going to stop me from going down there and just kicking her ass? And Jesse's saying, do not mess with her, do not mess with her. TC echoing, you know, if you're thinking about messing with Miss Marie, don't. So all of these warnings mean she's definitely going to mess with Miss Marie. 100%.
Tulip is that person that the more you tell her not to do something, you're basically saying, hey, you have to do this.
100%. Yeah. It's 100%. Yeah. So, of course, she takes things into her own hands and heads over to Madame Boyd's to kind of throw down. This was really cool, too. Did you get that the assistant was Madame Boyd?
Yeah,
in the
I figured.
I thought so too. Like, I felt like that was set up.
I didn't get it right away, but as soon as I saw the body thing in the chair, I was like, oh, that's a prop. Like, it has to be the assistant. Yeah.
The only thing that was weird to me was I was like, okay, so where's the voice coming from? Do you guys just have like a pre-recorded thing you put next to your corpse that you're like, hit play? They never explained that. I was like, is this magic or is this just hitting a recording? Like, y'all are
that's
ready
good,
for this.
That's a good point.
Because that was the only thing where I was like, she's dead. Who said words?
Yeah, maybe it was magic.
I feel like in Angelville, it's like, just say
it's
magic.
I feel like if you can, cure people of their alcoholism with magic, you can
throw
your voice
a
little bit, you know?
I guess
maybe she's also
magical.
A ventriloquist. You know, you don't know her ways.
But I love that Tulip has this whole fake story with her fake name and her boyfriend Rich. And they are just flat out like, so how did Jesse get into
this?
I don't understand why she didn't immediately freak out where she's like, Rich, you mean Rich, right? I'm like, they know. If they say Jesse,
right,
get out of there. Run now.
Yeah.
Don't wait for the exposition.
It's not like they said some other random name, got it wrong. Like they said the one other name that you didn't want to hear, which is his actual name.
But then seeing her get thrown, or her jumping out the window and then just being thrown right
back.
Yeah,
that was really good. That was great choreography.
So good. Yeah. The fight sequences on this show are just amazing. And so I'm really glad that they did have this kind of near the end, because that's kind of how I was feeling, where I was like, all right, I need some action right
here. Yeah, I get that.
And then they didn't disappoint. They're like, we know what our fans want. Tulip fight. Go.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I'm very interested in seeing how that plays out. I like that they are fleshing out this Boyd's plot line, and that they've kind of they've shown a little bit of them each episode. So we're getting a little bit more and more. I'm really curious to see how it pans out. I feel like she should have just showed up and been like, hey, like, I know you guys don't like the Langelles too. I feel like that could have been a thing. I don't know why she didn't go about it that way.
Yeah, it did feel weird that she was trying to do like this deceptive thing that we saw didn't really work even with TC. So it's right. Like, why?
Yeah, I feel like,
granted, she left him with a gator on his business, but.
Well, I think that might. Also, I think TC liked all that too. So I think that's. I don't think he's going to like run and tell. I think he's going to be like, yes, I got what I wanted. Yeah, but I think that's what's going to end up happening anyways. The boys are going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll make a deal. I'll help you out if you help me kill the Langelles or something like that. So
because they didn't seem very intimidated. I mean, even when Madame Boyd was like, I've been wanting to meet you. Yeah. And then she just pulls a gun and is like, right. How do you do?
That's also interesting, too, because I'm wondering, does that mean that they have a spy at the Langelles and they know what's going on there? Or is this something else related to O'Hare's and Tulip, more like Tulip backstory? Because that's they haven't really hinted that much about that. Like, they've talked more this season about the O'Hare stuff than they have before. So maybe that's why. But maybe not. I don't know. It would be nice to get... That's one of the things I think has been missing. Because they have talked a little bit. We are getting a lot of Jesse's family and the Langelles and all that stuff. And I think the O'Hare side of Tulip is just as equally important to the story. So getting... If that's the direction that they're going, which I think it is, I'm excited to see more about that, because I wasn't like, it was cool to see the stuff with their dad, but I want there to be some more.
I think that would be cool too, because kind of what I was thinking is either, you know, like, we know of Tulip because we know she's kind of Jesse's kryptonite, but I think it would be way cooler if it was an unrelated thing where it was like Tulip O'Hare has her own mission, she's involved in this in some way, and Jesse doesn't even know it, and so now Tulip's mission and Jesse's mission are two different things that are just converging.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
I think that'd be really cool. I hope that's the way that they go with it. But talking about one of our other favorite characters, Cass, he was phenomenal this episode. Getting to see him with TC and that back and forth of him, like, you know, curious, you're mentioning all of these reasons that you've been stabbed and scarred and shot. There's not any scars on you. And TC just kind of figuring it out. And then later when Jody's like, he's a fast healer. What does that mean? It means he's healing fast. Like, I love just TC's simplicity, and that it was him and not Jody.
Yeah.
Who was, you know, trying to sew up Cass and help him out, because we ended up getting this kind of backstory that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise of TC kind of talking about, you know, with Cassidy about all of these different things that he's done up until this point that Cass is saying, which later we see echoed when he's like, you know, I'm not a bad guy. I've done some bad things, and now these things are really on his mind because he doesn't have the physical scars to remind him, but he has all of these memories of all of these things that he's done throughout his life. And I love, too, when TC's like, you want me to get you some swamp consomme? It's like, I really shouldn't because I know what's in it, but yeah, go ahead, bring it over.
I think the point of that was to have him get out of the room so that he could drink
could drink the blood. Yeah, that was really the only reason, but
I think so.
It was just the delivery of it. I was like, so good.
Yeah.
So good. And then him talking with Jesse too, and Jesse's, you know, whole warning to Tulip about sit tight and everything, which I also love seeing Tulip's kind of fantasy flash of her kicking God's ass.
Yeah. That was
awesome moment.
That is where the tone is very much like the comics.
Yeah. They're like, well, how are you going to kick his ass? And it's like, this. Like,
I'm just going to kick him in the nuts. Like, literally.
She's like, what? I'm just going to...
I don't understand what's so complicated.
I'm going to kick his dick ass. I don't know how else to explain it.
It's a specific part of the body. Where it's like the connecting.
The dick ass.
Yeah. It's God's weak point. Duh.
Exactly.
Everybody knows that.
Because you ain't gonna fight him any other way.
I'm sorry, guys.
I'm sorry.
I let us down that path. I apologize.
I'm only a little sorry. But I did love, too, this moment with Jesse and Cass where we finally get them kind of making amends to some degree. Because up until
this point, though?
Kind of. I mean, at least was Jesse admitting some fault and saying, you know, I'm sorry it took me so long to say anything, but you are my best friend. I know I've said it a whole bunch, and Cass's like, you've never said this. You've never said this one time. you just assume that we all know what's right. going on in Jesse Custer's head because you're the center of your own universe. You have to communicate this stuff to us, which I think will probably be something that'll probably come out later too, because it was such a big thing of him like, really? I never said it.
It just still felt kind of selfish, and like he still didn't really apologize. And then I don't really think Cassidy like cares. I think he's past the point of where that saying that would have been like, oh, shite, man. That's really cool. And I've been like super into it, but I don't
think. Your Irish sounds a little Jamaican. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It's better than mine.
We don't need to
even hear it. It's not good.
I don't want to get in trouble. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it a lot until I was thinking like, this is a good spot, I guess, to patch this up if this is what's going to happen. But clearly Cass,
he's not having it. I mean, he just flat out said, I'm not leaving without Tulip.
Yeah.
And I love that Jesse says, you know, you've seen the pictures, harkening back to what we were talking about last episode, and then getting to see the visual of the photo come to life and of this person being hung and then being burned to death and Cassie watching it and just finally saying, you know what? No, I'm not going to just leave just because you're telling me that you're my best friend and you think it's in my best interest. This could just be another Jesse ploy. I'm sticking around.
Yep.
So Jesse, I love to whenever they have the title of it and it's not what I was going to expect. Somebody's like, if you're going to stay here, it's going to hurt. And I was like, oh, that's the going to hurt. As he's stabbing Cass to make his bullet hole look more real. Not what I was expecting.
I didn't even catch that.
Really? I always look for when they say the title in the episode because I'm like, oh, what does it tie into? What secret thing? And I was like, oh, nothing. It's just a F you Cass moment. Cool. But overall, it works out because everybody's pretty much hurting in this episode. And later, unfortunately, this really gets to Cass because he goes to Miss Marie. She had talked about the love potion before, which we see him get from Miss Marie with the spray. And then go for the chicken. Again, and I love that this chicken analogy keeps coming back too, where we see Jesse, the first thing that he did when he used his grandma's powers was because he killed this chicken.
Right.
And he felt so bad about it.
He wanted to bring it back.
Yeah, and he wanted
and
to bring it back.
And then we saw it when they got back alive still.
And the chicken crossing the road when
Not
they
anymore.
Came back. And then Cass.
R.I.P. Jesse's chicken.
Woo!
2018.
Yeah, sorry little chick.
It lived a long time.
He did live a very long time. And
Maybe
then
grandma
Cass got hungry.
Again.
I don't think so. I think at this point it's like, boo boo, you've been vampire food, you're out. And we even see Jesse chasing the chickens away too when he's getting into his truck, where he's like, go, go, get out of here. Like he's telling Cass, go, go, get out of here. And then, of course, the chicken doesn't, just like Cass stays. And then both of them get caught by TC as TC is picking the personal hair out of the gator. That's why I'm with you. I'm like, I think he did like it. Otherwise, why would he would just throw the gator away. He's like, nah, I'm keeping this gator.
I think it's going in a trophy case.
Woo. Poor little gator. I feel worse for the gator than I do for TC.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
So ultimately, they find Cassidy. And Cass asks, you know, he's like, hey, man, don't tell anybody. Just don't tell anybody. Like, we're bros. Like, don't let anybody know. Of course, TC immediately calls for Jody.
Yeah.
Because we know where his allegiances lie.
Well, I think also, too, just, like, I mean, even with the picture that we've seen, like, this is not the first time that they've, I mean, probably the first time they've caught a vampire that is, like, Jesse's friend that has been brought to the house, but not the first time they've dealt with a vampire. So I think it doesn't matter what he was going to say. He was like, oh, I know what we do with these. Yeah, and just called him Jody.
Because he just
right
thinks
away.
Of him as a monster. They don't think of him as, you know, anything else. Like, as he even says, where he's like, you know, there's a difference between magic and monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And Cass takes offense that Jesse's calling him a monster. And he's like, that's not me saying this, man. That's my family. They're messed up. They're going to do horrible things to you. Get out of here.
Well, also, too, when Cass is talking to Grandma earlier, he's like, so are you a witch? And she's like, no, I'm a healer. Like, she doesn't really seem to have... it doesn't seem like she's going like, yeah, I'm a voodoo witch priestess kind of a thing. Like, I don't know what she considers herself.
I think a healer. She thinks she's doing good.
Yeah, I think I'm sure there's some type of title or something more that comes with that. I just think she was kind of being coy. But I'm curious what her perspective is, because I think it's that's going to tie into why they feel so strongly about just like, you know, tie up the vampire monster and let it burn, because that's what Jody says, like there's a difference between magic and monsters. So I'm curious to see more about what happens.
I'm interested to see, and this one too, especially, I mean, I think you're definitely 100% right that they've had tons of vampires that they've had to deal with, because they're, you know, saying, string them up, let's have target practice for a while. Oh, like, yeah. We know how to handle these monsters. But having Madame Langelle kind of knowing that Tulip is Jesse's kryptonite, and the way to get to Tulip is via Cass, because Cass is already moving in, I feel like they wouldn't have done the whole setup with the loaf potion at that point if Madame Langelle wasn't going to step in some way.
Maybe. That's a good point. It would kind of render all of that moot if he died, but also I don't think they're going to kill him, because that would be like, what is going on with the show?
Because what's the point? Why would they wouldn't kill off one of their three poster people.
I don't know. I guess that depends on if you think that she knew he was a vampire or not. I don't think it mattered. I guess it does kind of matter. I don't know.
Because from the beginning, I feel like she's kind of known something was up. Like, I mean, TC and Jody were kind of wondering, and we talked about it before, but we were wondering if they knew or not, and we didn't think that TC did, but that they knew something was up.
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely were suspicious of something. As we saw in this episode, it just gets more and more heightened with what they end up seeing.
And way, way intense. And Jesse now is just completely wrapped up in it. He's going out with Jody to try to recruit people for
just like the old days.
Madame Langelle. Yeah, going to Alcoholics Anonymous. AA and drug, yeah,
at just, the church.
Which is so messed up, too, that it's like high preacher in a church that is lying to try to steal our souls away. It's
the guy's like, oh, no, I'm not really a believer. He's like, no, I'm not really a priest. I want to sell you this magic thing that's going to make you lose your soul. Come with me.
Yeah. It's like the difference between Jesse's dad and mom is like, he's like, you know, I want to be like my dad. I want to be a good preacher, but I am very much stuck here. And if it's my soul or yours,
I'm gonna do yours. What I'm good at.
And I love too this moment that he has with, I know I keep talking about everything that I loved this episode, but
how really dare good you?
I know. Ugh, the worst. But when he's talking about to Jody, where he's like, how are you so loyal to Grandma when she's done all of these awful things to you and to Christina? We know that they had this relationship that she didn't really care that she would hurt Jesse, she would hurt Jody, she would hurt anybody because she killed Christina, her daughter. So Jody, just his knee-jerk reaction to just punch Jesse in the face and be like, do what your grandma says. That, I mean, I think it really drives home the point. There is no getting out. Like, it doesn't matter what happens. There is no one to appeal to.
Well, I think there's also the implication that Jody had some type of feelings for Christina also in some type of way, which makes sense-ish. So we'll see what comes from that. Yeah. But that's kind of what I got is, like, Jesse said that as a dig to, like, get under his skin.
Well, we know that Jody, too, killed his dad.
Right.
So, but we don't know the story behind it. So we don't know if it was a love triangle type situation. If it was, you know, just grandma said kill him, so he did.
I think, I mean, I'm not sure. I think that's the case. But even if that is the, if that was the case and it wasn't because of the love triangle thing could still be in play. It could be like, great, I've been waiting for you to let me do this kind of a thing. You know what I mean? It could be like a quiet resentment.
So I basically feel like Jesse is now at the point that he is just at Madame Langelle's mercy.
Yep. I think he's been kind of processing the past few episodes, but I think he knows that, like, especially without the voice, he's not getting out. Like, he knows the ins and outs of the process. He's gotten plenty of people in their own deals. So I think especially this episode, we finally see him really start to get the wheels turning. Like, all right, I've just got to start doing this. And like, maybe I can figure something out, but I can't like pretend anymore all the way. I have to like start putting out to, so
and
to speak.
And even when he's talking to his grandma too, and she's like, well, there's always the tombs, when he's saying I struck out, and he's like, that's never going to happen. And she just flat out hits him and was like, look, you're going to do what you're told. And we can see the tombs are really a last resort for him. But ultimately, to save Cass, because the only option is to either watch TC and Jody shoot him over and over and torture him until the sun comes up and kills him, or reopen the tombs and have him fight for his life.
Yeah, so apparently the tombs is from... like Fight Club.
Yeah, it's like a fight for your soul. So it basically seems like if you've sold your soul to Madame Langelle, your last-ditch effort to get it back is to fight to the death in the tombs. Winner take all. You either die without your soul, or you win and you live and you get your soul back.
Is that what it is?
It seems like it. I think that that's what...
It seemed to me like she just... like anybody that she owned that was down there was just down there, and like they would fight. I don't think they win anything. I think it's just a battle
for your soul. That's what it is. It's because the winner gets to leave. Like there's an impetus to win. Otherwise it's, you know, there's not really any fight, because if they're just...
people have prisoners there. Fight all the time.
Yeah. But I feel like this one, the reason that it's so intense is that it's trying to redeem your soul. And this is basically his only effort to try to save Cass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird seeing him with the top hat and everything, and mm-hmm. the way it was lit. It just felt like I was waiting for the Greatest Showman soundtrack to start. Like I was like, all right. Like when they had the light coming out of him and he does like the whole like this thing. And so I was like, that was the opening scene. Like that's Hugh Jackman right now.
Well, there's a, yeah. Yeah.
I liked it.
I'm curious to see. I think there's more to that, but. We'll see in the next episode, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that could definitely be the case, but that guy, that science teacher guy, is still being there after all these years. But he looks kind of beat up.
I think that's what it is. I think he's just...
he just loses every fight.
And he's just still there fighting. I don't know, though, because...
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. It's possible. I know the
producers were talking about, like, the tomb, or the tombs. They were saying it's like this battle to the death to try to save your soul.
Okay.
But... maybe not. I mean, if you have an arena, there could be different reasons for different fights.
I just feel like, why would they give him back? Why would they give his souls back? Because if they own you...
they get the audience. They get all the money. They get all this stuff of the tombs.
Yeah, but people will come and watch the tomb fights anyways. Even if they don't... one of the winners doesn't have to leave. It's like death race.
Debt is
none of the
be...
racers get to leave, but everybody still tunes in.
I guess that's true. That's true.
That's all I'm saying is that it could still be...
to repay your debt. Not necessarily to get your soul back, right. But to be done with your debt. Yes. To be out of the compact. Yeah. To be done.
Yeah. So it's maybe like it's a certain number of fights or something.
To have your
or
debt
like,
released.
Maybe you have to raise a certain amount of money for your fight. Maybe. You got to like promo and sell tickets.
I don't know because...
and like fill the stands.
They send this one-eyed and pedophile
science
teacher.
Send out Facebook invites. I'm fighting in the tombs next week. Please come show your support.
Everyone's like, it's like DJs now. Everybody's always at the tombs. I'm not coming to your show, man.
Yeah, but again, to speak to like the pacing, like we've been talking about the past few weeks, we got something that they teased in episode one that I'm like, all right, is this going to be something they reveal at the end of the season? But nope, episode three, here's a little more of a tease, but really, really an intro. And it looks like next episode, we're going to get a lot more of the tombs.
I think so too. So do we want to make some predictions for next episode?
I think it's about time.
We'll make our own noise.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Look at that. We predicted that was going to happen.
Wow. Voodoo right here.
Look at that. We were already right. So I'm wondering, this is less of a prediction and more of just, I really like Arseface, and I'm wondering when we're going to see him in Hell with Hitler.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen him at all this season.
Did you see the teaser for next week?
No. Did they have it? Is he going to be in it?
No. They didn't show any of him. Oh. They did show the saint, though.
Oh.
In hell, talking to Satan.
Oh, snap.
Woo! I was hyped. I'm excited for that. That looks crazy.
Okay, well, that sounds like a hell of a good time
next
week. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm hoping somehow with that, we also get some of the... Hitler Eugene stuff, because like, come on, it's been 3 episodes. They're in the intro. It's what, 10 episodes this season? I haven't looked at the
10.
Number. So, come on, like there's only 7 left. I need some Eugene and Hitler. Like
I need some Eugene.
Which is not something I thought I would say, but it's true.
It is so weird on this show when you're like, go Hitler, and you're like, what? God,
yeah.
This feels weird.
I haven't said
I
that
this.
Yet.
Only when he was helping Eugene in that one.
Nope.
I like legitimately was like, oh, good move, Hitler. And I was like, that is the only time I will ever say those words.
But he was
words.
Just playing him to get him out of hell.
But he was trying to help.
You had to know. It was all selfish.
Bit. I mean, it is selfish. I'm not going to defend Hitler. That's never going to happen. I'm not going to do it. But It is a great character on the show.
Yes, they've made it very funny, and that's what I mean. Is I like they set up so much last season with him and Eugene. I just want to see it, especially now with the pace too. Like I really want
to
see it.
And I'm thinking because the show is so clever, it has to tie in some way that we're not expecting. Mm-hmm. Like somehow the tombs like reopen it or create a new kind of evil or something. I feel like there's some sort of. They do this, something else happens.
Mm-hmm.
And because they've hyped up so much, like Tulip being the person who's going to make everything go awry and, oh, I always mess everything up and why can't I do anything right? I think it's going to ultimately be somebody else who messes up and Tulip that fixes it.
Interesting.
Because I think that that's just so what they're not expecting. They're going to be the way of subverting it. Yeah, that there's going to be some unintended consequences and Tulip's the one who's like, you know what, you guys have underestimated this whole time. I keep having to say... I'm just as dangerous. I mean it too. I'm also intimidating. I can do things. Why wouldn't God come after me? I think it would be so cool to just watch her be like, all right, let me fix this for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just really curious to see how the whole Cassidy-Jesse relationship is going to progress, especially now that like Cassidy has the potion and he has this intention of what he wants to do, but he's been captured and he's been sidetracked, and like Jesse did kind of save him, but I don't know how much he's going to be happy about it when he's just like has to fight for his life. So I don't know. I'm really excited to see how that plays out.
Cassidy fighting for his life, Jesse feeling like he saved him, and then trying to steal his girl using his grandma's magic. There's a lot in store. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait
they're for next week. Setting up so much and knocking it down so quickly. I'm excited.
I'm really excited. So any last thoughts on this episode?
No, I think we hit it all.
All right. Well, we hope you guys join us next week as well. We're going to sign off here, but stick around. If you read the comics, we don't want to have any spoilers for anybody who doesn't necessarily read the comics. So we're going to sign off here. But if you are a comic fan, stick around. The last couple minutes, we're going to kind of talk about the differences between the show and the comics as well. So for everybody else... Thank you guys for tuning in to the Preacher After Show. I've been Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
I'm Nate Miller. You can find me on all social media at Dog Like Nate.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. We'll wait for it. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right. You have been spoiler forewarned. Alert. If you don't want to know what happens in the comics, stop watching right now. Click the little button. Click stop. Okay, you've had time. So it's really kind of hard talking about the comics now that we've gotten so into this season.
Yeah.
The Angelville stuff has just taken such a turn.
Yep.
It's basically not related to the comics at all. It's a completely new show.
Yeah.
Completely new storyline, which I kind of like because it's less predictable.
It's interesting to see Tulip interact with the Langelles because, you know, in the book, she basically just dies like right away when they get there. So she's not really a factor. And so now that she's back and has this whole interaction with God, it just puts them in a really interesting position. I'm sure they wouldn't do it without some type of a plan, but I don't know. I'm just like, I told you earlier, like I almost don't even want to talk about the comic stuff just because it's so different. It's not a Walking Dead case where it's like the same beats kind of told in a different way. It's like the same characters and names. And other than that, it's like completely different in like structure. That being said, some of the God stuff was like taken right out of the book down to like the framing and some of the effects, but also a lot of the lines too of I'm a loving God thing and all that stuff. So that was really cool to see.
And Tulip kicking God's ass was like, okay, you guys looked at the panels for this one and just brought them to life. So
exactly. Yeah. And then also too, I was touching on this a little bit earlier, but I didn't want to dive too deep into it, but in the comics, the Langelles are not, it's not a voodoo witch thing. They're like it's almost like a priest, like super, super, super religious thing to where they have this deal with God, which gives them this kind of like special, boundaries to operate within. And, from that perspective, it makes perfect sense for them to hate vampires because it's like an abomination against God. But without that, with them being this kind of darker voodoo thing, it does kind of make sense. Like, I kind of agree with Cass. Like, he should be like the main attraction. So that's why I'm wondering if there is more, if they're still going to kind of go that route. I wonder if there's more to Jesse Langelle and all the Langelle family stuff and God, like who we've seen this season, if he did make that kind of a deal, if there is some type of communication between them.
I mean, their name literally means the angel.
Right.
So it would make sense that they would have this relationship with God that's echoed as well.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, all the bloodline stuff in the book, too, she's still talking about that stuff, not as heavily, but still she has, you know, made it clear that she has her own intentions and her own agenda, and that is matters to her above all else, even to the point of her killing her child once she has found out about the grandbaby and like her intensity with Jesse and all that stuff. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited to see where they go with it. I read that article that you were talking about, or the interview that Seth Rogen gave where he was talking about the differences in the comics. So that kind of gave me some faith. Yeah, you can tell that they're fans, which really means a lot, but it's so different. Like,
it is.
I think that's going to be for the better in the long run, but it's just a little jarring.
Because it is kind of hard. I mean, it's not like a Sin City where you can just use the comic as your storyboard.
Right.
And have it just brought to life. And because it is specifically crafted to be a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
So adapting it to the screen and them already taking all of these liberties and kind of changing so many things, I think at this point, having it sync back up to the comics is pretty much impossible.
Yeah. Also, a lot of the tone, just from the era, just wouldn't play well. So there's just a lot of things that would have to be changed, especially to be adapted to TV. But by that same token, like, even though I read the book many years ago, I'm definitely due for a reread. But there are key points that stick out and events that happen that it feels like we're not going to get. And that's why I'm a little disappointed. But I guess I just have to separate it and enjoy it for what it is, because it is really good and I'm enjoying the season a lot more. And it still has the same feel.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but in certain spots. And when it does hit, it's like, yes. Like the God today, I was like, yes, this is why I watched this show. It was so cool.
I'm with you 100%. That's exactly how I felt. And I feel like season one, we didn't get any of that, because everything that happened season one,
it was so slow.
It was the entire season was the first two pages of the book. Yeah, it was like this all happened in two pages.
I think they're really trying to push Jesse to have this arc. You know, in order to do that, they really needed to kind of give him more of the darkness bad, like, in order to turn him into this guy that we really like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they may have just dwelt on it a little too long, or like kind of put the emphasis in the wrong place. I don't know. It's just, I know a lot of people don't like Jesse at all. I don't love him right now, but I can
Jesse,
see,
but Tulip is my favorite.
Yeah. And I don't always enjoy Jesse, but I also can see how he could be redeemed and how I could really like him. I see the potential. So.
Well, I feel like they've also done so much highlighting, like, TC is in love with Tulip. Cass is in love with Tulip. Jesse's in love with Tulip. Everybody's in love with Tulip. Here are all the reasons. It's like, show why Tulip loves Jesse.
Yeah.
Show us from her perspective
they haven't
why
really
we
shown
should
that,
love him.
Yeah. That, there's like as much as they've fleshed out Tulip so much, I feel like the one thing that has suffered the most is the relationship between Jesse and Tulip. Like in the book, there's so much love and like passion and connection between them. It's actually really romantic. But in the show, I don't really feel like, they say they love each other, but like it doesn't really feel like, I'm not like, oh.
We've
like,
seen Tulip through Cass's eyes, but we haven't gotten to see Jesse through Tulip's eyes.
When Tulip died, I was sad because I like Tulip, not because like, oh my God, I feel so bad for Jesse. Like that was not.
Yeah, that wasn't my rationale at all. Yep. I was just like, no, bring her back. She's my favorite. She's so awesome. So I'm interested to see where they go. I do have to say, even though Dave isn't here, props to Dave for calling out that they were going to have that scene that was echoed in the book with Cass being strung up. He was very, very right. He was correct. Yeah.
It was a great, it was a good setup and callback. It was a nice tease. It was enough to notice it, but it wasn't like, this is going to happen in two episodes. So,
and it was a really cool visual. They did a really good job of it, of just Jesse leaning in as he's upside down.
And it's
down.
One of those things that, like, as a human, if I saw that, I'd be like, ooh, kind of creepy. But, like, as a vampire, that's like, oh, shit, that's scary.
Yeah. You're like, that's the only thing that can legit
one of the few
take
things,
me out.
Right, exactly.
Ugh. So I thought this was a really, really cool episode. I'm interested to see where they go.
Yep.
And I'm interested to see at all if it syncs back up with the comics.
I don't really think it will. Yeah,
I think
they're still going to hit certain things, maybe in tone, and we're going to get more characters from the books, but I think it's just going to be in its own order in its own way, and I'm okay with that.
I think think so too. And we would love to hear your feedback too. So be sure to comment. Let us know what you think. If you're going to post any comic spoilers, though, we do appreciate if you write spoiler at the beginning
please,
of your comment.
Please,
too.
Make some spaces. Because if you're a comic book reader, I'm sure you love this book. You want other people to have that experience that you had. And there's so many good twists in this book. So please
don't
spoil
it. We want everybody to read it too.
Right, exactly.
It's awesome,
we want them to enjoy it.
So we'd love to see you guys next week as well. Be sure to comment, subscribe, rate, all that good stuff. Again, you can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan.
Nate Miller, Dog Like Nate.
And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.